بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد There are three narrations which reports supplications of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when sitting on the conveyance. Those of us who live in the UK and majority of the people who are listening to me at this precise moment or who will listen to me later on, our means of conveyance is a motor car. Five-seater, seven-seater, 12-seater. And now and then, or once in a while, our means of conveyance is an aeroplane. For some, helicopter. Sometimes we travel by train. Sometimes we travel by bus, coach. And many young people, they use motorbikes or bicycles as their means of conveyance. In these three narrations, the various Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in who have narrated them, they have mentioned for us the supplications that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam would recite after taking his seat on the conveyance. In the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it could be a horse, it could be a camel, it could be a donkey, and it could be a mule. The very first incident is narrated by Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His student Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Rabi'a rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates that he once visited Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And it so happened that whilst he was visiting Sayyiduna Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had to go somewhere and an animal was brought for Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. When Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu placed his foot in the stirrup to ride the animal, he recited Bismillah. So first thing we learn from this is that when we put our foot in the car or when we put our foot in the bus or in the aeroplane or in the bus, or when we place our first foot to ride a bicycle or ride a motorbike, we should say Bismillah. So when Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu placed his foot in the stirrup, he recited Bismillah. So let us make a point of saying Bismillah when we put our foot in the car, or when we put our foot in the bus, or in the train, or in the aeroplane, or when we put our first foot on the bike or on the bicycle, when riding a bicycle or when getting onto the bicycle, getting onto the motorbike. After Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was seated on the animal, he recited this dua. Alhamdulillahi alladhi sakhara lana hadha وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. From amongst the three supplications that we will mention here, majority of the people are familiar with this supplication, because we are taught this supplication when we are very young by our parents, or at least in the maktab. And this first supplication, Alhamdulillahi alladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun, is a verse from the glorious Quran. And there is praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made this, who has made this animal, horse, camel, mule, donkey, or who has made this car, bus, aeroplane, who has made this subservient for us, and we would not have been able to control it. Without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have been able to control any of the animals that we ride. And without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not be able to control the motor vehicle that we ride. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who keeps us with good health and with safety, that we are riding the vehicle on the motorway at 70 miles per hour and everything remains intact and nothing happens to us. For a split second, if our eyesight becomes blurry, for a split second if we lose our senses, for a split second if our hands become numb, for a split second, if our feet become numb, you can imagine what can happen. So this is not only for animals, it is for motor vehicles also. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them subservient, and without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would not have been able to control it. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And surely to Allah is our return. Islam is a religion, a way of life, that teaches us how to prepare for the eternal life of the hereafter. And again, Islam reminds us through the Quran, through the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the real life is the life hereafter, not this world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no life but the life of the hereafter. And the Quran's وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُمُ وَلَعِبُ. This worldly life is nothing but play and amusement. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. And the الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the life hereafter, لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, that indeed is the life. In this world we are all transit visitors. Nobody has come in this world to remain forever. We are passing through this world. Everybody comes here to pass through this world. from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam until today, and from today until the last day, nobody will come in this world to remain forever and ever. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ. We have not made for any human eternity in this world. We have not made for any human to stay in this world forever and ever. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day you will die, you will depart from this world, and your adversaries will also die. Those who are anxiously waiting for you to die, they are not going to remain here forever and ever. Some people come in this world for mere seconds, some for mere minutes, some for a few hours, some for a few days, some for a few years, some for many years. But ultimately every person has to depart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created us for this world. Allah has created us for the hereafter. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from us that we do not attach our hearts to the blessings of this world, to the bounties of this world. It is Allah's desire that we attach our hearts to the hereafter. So our hearts should remain attached to the hereafter. Our hearts should remain attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And as a result, our hearts should remain attached to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is through following the deen that we will be able to make our hereafter better. So according to the teachings of Islam, right from Adam alayhi salatu wassalam until the last day, the humans will not come in this world to make this worldly life their purpose. Each and every person should come into this world to make the life hereafter their purpose. And when the life hereafter is the purpose, then Islam continually reminds us that it is the hereafter that you should be concerned about. Ma'indakum yanfad. Whatever is with you, whatever is in your belonging will perish. Wama indallahi baq. And what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. It will remain forever. Kullu man alayha fan. All those people who are on the surface of this earth, who have been on the surface of this earth, who are on the surface of this earth, who will come on the surface of this earth until the day of Qiyamah, they will perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain forever. Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majmain slaughtered a goat. And as per the desire of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majmain distributed its meat. And the shoulder of the goat was desirable to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majma'in left a shoulder of the goat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to consume. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so generous, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so particular in distributing whatever came in his possession as soon as possible, that he would supervise and he would monitor those people who have been given the responsibility to distribute. Because it was his desire that anything that has come which is not needed, which is not required, which is not his need, should be distributed as soon as possible so it reaches those people who are in need, and as a result, the rewards of the hereafter can be acquired. Because whatever is with you will perish. If you were to die, it will remain behind. And whatever you send forth in the hereafter, it will remain in the hereafter forever and ever in the form of the bounties of Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what has happened to the goat, the meat of the goat meat that you are distributing? Has anything remained behind? Hal baqiya minha shayun? So Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala said, ma baqiya minha illa katifuha. Nothing has remained behind except for the shoulder meat, which we have left it for you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam quickly said, baqiya kulluha illa katifuha. Everything has remained behind except for the shoulder meat. What he meant was that the shoulder meat that has remained behind, according to you, we will consume it. We will digest it. And that is the end of it. But as far as the whole goat, other than the shoulder of the goat that you have distributed, it has become instrumental in acquiring the rewards of the hereafter, which will remain forever and ever. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran and throughout the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find this theme over and over again. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. The mistake that you are making is that you are giving preference to the worldly life. The Quran says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Whilst the akhirat is more better for you in quality and quantity. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ. The hereafter is more better for you in quality, khair, and وَأَبْقَى in quantity. قُلْ مَتَعُوا الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. O my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the people that the paltry benefits of this world are little. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى. And akhirat is far, far better for those people who live their lives according to the wishes of the Creator, with taqwa. فَمَا مَتَعُوا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. In comparison to the life hereafter, the paltry benefits of this worldly life are very insignificant, little. So the Quran and the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again and again stresses this point, that you will not live in this world forever. And the duration of your lives in this world, be it 50 years, be it 70 years, be it 100 years, be it 120 years, be it 500 years, be it 1000 years, be it 10,000 years, in comparison to the hereafter, it is nothing. It is like a day or half a day or part of a day. كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. Allah will ask all of us after our resurrection on the day of Qiyamah, that for how long did you stay in the world? We will say, لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْدَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِّينَ. We have spent time in the world. We have spent one day, part of a day in the world. That is how it will seem in the hereafter. I always tell my friends that in order to understand the length of the coming year, do not look at the coming year, look at the year that has passed. We are in July at the moment, beginning of July 2020. If we look at the coming year, beginning of July 2020 to beginning of July 2021, oh, it's a very long way to go. It's a very long duration, very long period. But go back. July 2020 to July 2019. And look at that year, the last 12 months. How quickly they passed. Those 12 months do not seem as long as the coming 12 months. And people like me who are in their 50s, late 50s, when we look back at our 50 years, 55 years, 57, 58 years, they seem very short. People say, only yesterday I was studying in the secondary school. Only, it seems as if only a few weeks ago I was in the college. Only a few weeks ago I got married. Only a few weeks ago my children were born. And now their children are getting married. But we never look back. We always look towards the coming years. So people like me who are in their late 50s, we never feel that majority of the life has gone and only little remains. We still feel that, no, I'm in my late 50s, so people normally die at the age of 75. When we are in our 30s and 40s, we tend to think that people die at the age of 60. Then when you enter the 50s, then the thought changes. People normally die at the age of 65. And then people normally die at the age of 70. And then people normally die at the age of 75. And it just carries on. This is a deceit from Shaitan. The thought process should be that people die at the age of 75, at the age of 80, at the age of 65, whatever. But sometimes people die before that as well, and many people die before that. Many people. And if many people did not die before the average age, even if one person was to die, and if there was a possibility that one person in 100,000 can die at the age of 50, at the age of 40, then those people concerned about the hereafter should have thought that that one person could be me. So our deen stresses over and over again that you will not live in this world for ever and ever. One day you will have to leave this world. And you will not live for long. You will not live for long. The average age is between 60 and 70. Average age is between 60 and 70. And if you want to find out the correct average, then contact the hospital. The average age is between 60 and 70. You have to contact the hospital, because what the hospital does is that they record all the deaths, and they record all the ages of the people dying, and they add up all the ages and divide it by the number of people who have passed away. And a few years ago, I was told by a medical doctor that the average age is decreasing. Before it used to be 70, now it's 65. It is decreasing. So we don't look at one individual that, mashallah, he is 80, he is 90. And normally, the more a person becomes pious, normally, it's not every time, Imam Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, the great scholar, he passed away in his 40s. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah ta'ala was a scholar, he passed away in his 40s. Many people have passed away in early age. But majority of the people who attach themselves to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who become ulama, who learn the Quran, who learn the ahadith, who learn the shariat, who follow the shariat, and who teach the shariat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them long lives because they are the custodians of the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives them long lives. Hazrat Mufti Sayyid Ahmad Palanpuri Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, he lived to see 80 years of his life may be over, Allama Khalid Mahmud rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was nearly 90. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was 73 is a good age. And Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib and Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen their shadows upon the ummah. Hazrat Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib is in his 80s. And Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Hafidahullah ta'ala, is in his late 70s. 76, 77. So I urge the students of deen, I urge the ulama, and I urge the non-ulama also, try to learn deen as much as possible with the intention of following it and passing it on to others, teaching it to others. Become a custodian of the ilmi nubuwwat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah give barakah in your life. And majority of the people, 99.9% of the people who safeguard the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are always exceptions, but majority of the people who sincerely safeguard the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah saves them from illnesses like dementia. Why? Because if they suffer from dementia, they will not be able to pass on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to others. So the huffaz, the ulama, the muftiyan kiram, who continually strive in teaching people the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards their memories, and Allah saves them from those illnesses which will make them disable as far as the faculty of brain is concerned. The topic we are discussing at the moment is that our deen again and again teaches us one thing. This world is temporary. Everything associated to this deen is temporary. And you are also temporary. Your life is temporary. Your abode is temporary. And everything that you enjoy, your friends, they are temporary. The food, temporary. Your family is temporary, parents temporary, children temporary. The everlasting life is the hereafter, in the form of Jannah for obedient people and in the form of Jahannam for disobedient people. So nobody comes in this world for eternity. And everything in this world is also mortal. Mortal. Everything will perish one day. And the real life is the life hereafter. In the hereafter, we will remain forever and ever, ever and ever, ever and ever. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ever and ever. And the Quran and the Ahadith looks for excuses to attract our attention towards this fact so that we do not become neglectful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of the human. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة فخلقنا العلقة مدغة فخلقنا المدغة عظاما فكسونا العظام لحما ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. We have made the human from clay. The origin of the human is clay. And in this world, when the human is created, it is created from a sperm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually turns this sperm into a clot of blood. ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُدْغَةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns this clot of blood into a piece of meat. فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُدْغَةَ عِذَامًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings another change, and this piece of meat turns into bones. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِذَامَ لَحْمًا. And thereafter we cover these bones with meat, with flesh. We cover these bones with flesh. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a human in the womb of the mother. And 1400 years ago, there were no X-rays, there were no CT scans, there were no MRI scans. So who told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elaborates and he says, for 40 days it remains nutfa. And then for 40 days it remains a clot. And for 40 days it remains a piece of meat. Who has mentioned this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The doctors, non-Muslims doctors, should ask this question. How did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know this 1400 years ago? They should ponder upon this. And they should realize that this can only be the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns this human into a beautiful being. Summa anshanahu khalqan akhar. Then we turn this human into a completely different creation. What it was as a sperm, what it was as a clot of blood, what it was as a piece of flesh, what it was as bones, and now when it is bone, summa anshanahu, completely new creation. Fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Great is Allah who is the best of the creators. So the child is bone now. Now childhood, youth, middle age, old age, and thereafter death. But no, as soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the birth of the child, Allah says, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ. In order to remind us that you have come into this world not to stay here but to go. So make sure that you prepare yourself for the hereafter. So here also, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. Alhamdulillahi alladhi sakhara lana. Quran says Subhanalladhi sakhara lana. But here Alhamdulillahi alladhi. All praises be to Allah who has made this subservient, this means of conveyance. And when will a person ride a means of conveyance? When he is traveling. So Alhamdulillah alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. This is all that was necessary as the supplication. That all praises is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has made this car, who has made this bus, who has made this train, who has made this aeroplane, who has made this animal subservient for us. And we would not have been able to control it without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was sufficient. We are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting us this means of conveyance and making it subservient for us. But now we continue and we say, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And surely to Allah is our return. Why? Because when we travel, we go from one place to another place. So we remind ourselves by reciting this, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ, that a day is going to come when you will set out on your final journey from this world to the hereafter. So make sure you prepare for that. We are being reminded of the hereafter in this dua. Very beautiful dua. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu recited this dua. When he put his foot in the stirrup, he said Bismillah. And then after he took his seat on the animal, he recited this dua. Alhamdulillah, alladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And thereafter he recited Allahu Akbar thrice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And Alhamdulillah thrice. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And thereafter he recited the following dua. Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfirli innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. There is no deity save you. You are pure of all blemishes. I declare that you are pure from all faults, all discrepancies. You are perfect. Indeed, I have wronged myself. So forgive me and have mercy upon me. Surely there is none that can forgive sins besides you. So Ali radiallahu anhu is traveling. He recites the dua, Alhamdulillah, alladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Thereafter, he reads this dua, Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfirli innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Because when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and when Allah forgives us, and when Allah purifies us, then all calamities are removed from our path. So before traveling, Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfirli innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. So we learn from this that a person should continually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, especially those people who are undertaking a dangerous path. For example, traveling. Anything can happen in travel. Accident can take place. Aeroplane can fall. The ship can drown. Those people who are going to write examinations, they should continually make istighfar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should come. And we learn from this, that when a person sets out on a travel, he should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So he should definitely ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness when he sets out, for the ultimate journey of the hereafter. And before the demise of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that now you will depart very soon, this is the instruction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. Mention the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah for forgiveness. Here also we recite the Subhanaka إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Because when a person recites Subhanallah, 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 through Subhanallah, his marifat and recognition for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. Through Dhikrullah, through Adi'iyah, especially through the four kalimat, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. It is for this reason the mashayikh encourage us to read these four kalimat at least 100 times daily. Please make a resolution that inshallah, from today, from tonight, we will read these four kalimat daily. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ahabbul kalami ilallahi arba'un. There are four sentences which are very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is Subhanallah. Second is Walhamdulillah. Third is Wala ilaha illallah. Fourth is Allahu Akbar. And if you find Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar difficult psychologically, then read Subhanallah 100 times separately, Alhamdulillah 100 times separately, Allahu Akbar 100 times separately, and La ilaha illallah separately. So when a person says Subhanaka inni zalamto, so Subhanaka is the first word, Subhanallah. So that means it follows that Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar, inni zalamtu nafsi. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika. Fasabbih Subhanallah bihamdi rabbika alhamdulillah. So it follows Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. So when you set off on a journey, recite Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, or only Subhanallah. So you acquire the recognition of Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. On a day-to-day, in your day-to-day routine, or when you set off on a journey, and because journey is full of hardships, so whenever you face any hardship, recite tasbih, recite tahmid, recite tahleel, recite takbir, and recite istighfar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open His doors of mercy for you. And especially when you reach the old age, then you are about to travel any time towards the hereafter, and you may not get the opportunity to recite this at that very moment. So, you must recite tasbih, and you must recite istighfar as much as possible. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the revelation of this surah, whenever he would go in sajda, according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when a musalli is performing further salat, then he should confine himself only to the tasbihat three times. Subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal azim, subhana rabbiyal azim, and in sajda, subhana rabbiyal ala, subhana rabbiyal ala, subhana rabbiyal ala. But in nawafil, he can recite other azkar also. He can make dua to Allah also. In sajda, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. In sajda, Subhana rabbiyal ala, Subhana rabbiyal ala, Subhana rabbiyal ala, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. In Arabic. And people should do this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the revelation of this verse, when he used to go in sajda, after saying Subhana Rabbiyal Ala, Subhana Rabbiyal Ala, Subhana Rabbiyal Ala, he would say Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdika Allahumma gufir li. Because Allah said to him, Fasabbih bihamdi Rabbik. Read tasbih and read tahmid. So he would say Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana wa bihamdik. And Allah said Wastaghfirhu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Allahumma gufir li. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he put his foot in the stirrup, he said Bismillah. When he took his seat on the animal, he said Alhamdulillahi alladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Alhamdulillahi alladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. The book that I am using at the moment, it has quoted this dua as Alhamdulillah alladhi. But normally whenever we recite it, we recite what is in the Quran, Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin. So inshallah we will also check this, but you continue with what you have been taught and continue reading that. And then Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfirli innahu la, and thereafter three times Allahu Akbar, three times Alhamdulillah, and then Subhanaka inni dhalamtu nafsi faghfir li innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Sayyiduna Ali ibn Rabia rahimahullah ta'ala says, thereafter I saw Ali radiyallahu anhu smile. So someone asked, oh Amirul Mu'minin, why are you smiling? So Sayyiduna Ali radiyallahu anhu said, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I am saying this in my words, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing exactly what I have done. This is the point that I would like to very briefly emphasize. I have done what I have seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. Whatever is established through sunnah, whatever is established through sunnah, the ulama have declared certain things to be faraid, certain things to be wajibat, certain things to be sunan muakkada, certain things to be sunan ghair muakkada, certain things to be mustahabbat. So these are all the things that are established through sunnah. We cannot just pick up any book of hadith And any hadith we come across, we cannot just come across any book of hadith, and any hadith that we see, we cannot practice it assuming that this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to establish a sunnah, you need expertise. And it is the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajmeen who had the expertise, the Tabi'in who had the expertise, the Taba Tabi'in who had the expertise, and the Muhaddisin who had the expertise, the Fuqaha who had the expertise. So, from the Ahadith, what is to be practiced, what is not to be practiced, I and you cannot do this. So we have not been ordered to read a hadith and bring hadith in our lives. No, you will never have heard this, that bring hadith in your lives, bring hadith in your lives, bring a hadith in your lives. No. You will always hear bring sunnah in your life, bring sunan in your life. Sunan. Fard is sunnah, wajib is sunnah, sunnah muakkada is sunnah, sunnah ghair muakkada is sunnah, mustahab is sunnah. That action of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is declared by the experts that this is something that should be followed by the ummah. Either its status is fard, either its status is wajib, either its status is sunnah muakkada or sunnah ghair muakkada or mustahab. Something that is declared by the experts, the sahaba, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, the muhaddisin, the fuqaha. That is sunnah. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that what you saw me do is the sunnah of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do this. And because Ali radiyallahu anhu was expert, he knew that what he saw was sunnah, it was for the ummah to practice also. So he said, Ali radiyallahu anhu said, that I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading the same dua once when taking his seat on the animal. And thereafter he also smiled. So Ali radiyallahu ta'ala said that I asked him that why are you smiling, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whenever a servant says, O Allah, forgive my sins. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi. Faghfir li. O Allah, forgive my sins. Whenever a servant says that, O Allah, forgive my sins, then Allah is pleased with the servant. Especially whenever a servant says, Oh Allah, forgive me, knowing and believing that only Allah can forgive sins. Because that is what the dua says. Faghfirli, forgive my sins. Innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Only you can forgive my sins. So whenever a person says, forgive my sins, knowing that only Allah can forgive sins, Allah becomes very pleased. And upon this thought, that I have recited this dua and Allah must be pleased with me, I have smiled. It is this thought, that this feeling of Allah being pleased, or this yaqeen, this knowledge that Allah is pleased with me, that I have smiled. So this is one dua. And majority of us recite this dua. We should say Bismillah. Thereafter, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. Thereafter Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, 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 and then Subhanaka inni zalamtu nafsi faghfir li innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. And with this in mind, that because I have recited this dua, Allah must be pleased with me, we should smile also. These are all sunnat of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The other two supplications, there are for many things more than one supplications. Sometimes two supplications, sometimes three supplications, sometimes four supplications. the more you learn and more you recite, the more reward and more spiritual benefits you will acquire. But if we are unable to learn all of them, read all of them, then at least for every occasion, for everything we do, we should learn one dua and at least carry that out. So this is very common. The other one is, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamun qalibun. Allahumma inna nasaluka fi safarina hadha albirra wa attaqwa wa min al-amali ma tarda. اللهم هون لنا سفرنا هذا واطوي عنا بعده اللهم انت الصاحب في السفر والخليفه في الاهل اللهم اني اعوذ بك من وعثاء السفر وكعابه المنظر وسوء المنقلب في المال والاهل. This is also well known, but not as well known as the first one, because this is not taught in the makatib. But look at the translation, it is a very nice dua. Pure is Allah who has made this subservient for us, and we would not have been able to control it. And surely to Allah is our return. O Allah, we ask you for righteousness and piety on this journey, and the ability to do actions that please you. So even during the journey, O Allah, grant us the tawfiq to hold on to piety, and grant us the tawfiq to do those things which make you happy. O Allah, make the journey easy for us and shorten its distance. O Allah, you are our traveling companion and our deputy in our families. So you are with us, but you are also with our families. So look after us and look after our family also. O Allah, I seek protection from the burdens of travel and being overtaken with unpleasant circumstances and situations in respect of family and wealth. So when I return, I do not want to see anything unpleasant in my family or in my wealth. Someone from the family has gone astray. Someone has become sick or ill. Someone has passed away. Similarly, in my wealth, that the business is gone, it has faced bankruptcy, or it's going down. And the third dua, Allahumma anta sahib fi safar wal khalifatu fil ahl. Allahumma ashabna bi nushik وَقْلِبْنَا بِذِمَّةٍ اللَّهُمَّ ازْوِي لَنَا الْأَرْضِ وَهُبِّنْ عَلِينَ السَّفَرِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي عُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ وَعْثَاءِ السَّفَرِ وَكَآبَةِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ. O Allah, you are our traveling companion and our deputy in our families. O Allah, accompany us with goodness and take us into your protection. O Allah, fold the earth and make the travel easy. That means make the journey short for us. And make the journey short for us means that save us from experiencing tiredness, difficulties. We seek refuge in you against the difficulties of traveling and being overtaken by unpleasant circumstances. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to attach ourselves to all the masnoon du'as of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah also grant us the tawfiq to attach ourselves to the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through following the sunnah, grant us a special attachment with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through these masnoon prayers, may Allah grant a special attachment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And may we acquire success in our dini endeavors, in our ruhani spiritual endeavors, and may we acquire husne khatima, a good departure from this world. May we acquire his love and his wilayat, his special friendship, and may we be saved from the punishment of the grave, the punishment of the day of Qiyamah, and may be saved from entry into Jahannam, and may we be granted entry into Jannatul Firdaus with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Before concluding, I would like to mention one sunnah. Upon waking up in the morning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would use miswak. Now when we wake up in the morning for either tahajjud salat or fajr salat, whenever we wake up for tahajjud salat or fajr salat, we perform wudu. And in wudu, majority of us use miswak. But one should remember that this is a separate sunnah from the sunnah of using miswak in wudu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon wakening would use miswak. So when we wake up after sleep in the morning, then the first thing we should do is to use miswak. After using miswak, relieve ourselves. And then, after relieving ourselves, when we perform wudu, reuse the miswak. So inshallah, I will try to mention one sunnah every Friday. So today's sunnah is that upon waking up in the morning, we should use miswak. Because using miswak upon waking up in the morning is a sunnah. And then to reuse the miswak whilst performing wudu is a separate sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.